The message is a longer one this week, so I've tried to bear that in mind in compiling the rest of the order of the service. For various reasons, it has laid heavy on my heart, so if you'd like to just remember that in your own private prayer, I would be grateful. Over to Richard for the first song.
So why are we here? We've come to lift Jesus' name on high. So we're going to start with, Lord, I lift your name on high.
To the Lord in prayer. It's wonderful to remember that the Lord longs to hear our prayers. Sometimes we might find it difficult to know how to pray or what to pray for, but the Lord understands those difficulties and he accepts and he honours our prayers. We have to remember that we are to pray in accordance with the Lord's will and not ours. Sometimes the Lord will answer our prayer immediately. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, because he knows what is better. Also, of course, sometimes the Lord keeps us waiting. We need patience. We cannot demand of the Lord. But you know, the Lord, again I say, loves to hear us pray. Whether it's together or whether it's privately in our own homes. And remember this, he knows each one of us by name, and he loves us deeply. And so we come to him in believing prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you because you are indeed a wonderful God. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And it is amazing the way that you work. We thank you for the beauty and the wonder of your creation. Lord, we pray for the situation throughout the world. We pray for all in authority and ask for your wisdom and guidance. We pray about the situation between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, there is so much that we do not understand. But Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for the people from both sides that are in terrible pain. We pray for the families who've lost their loved ones. We pray for those who've left their country, that have left Ukraine, and are refugees in many other countries. We thank you, Lord, for the people in this country and other countries who've opened their homes to some of these refugees. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that they are being accepted. We thank you for the way that they're now finding love and help. We also pray, Lord, concerning the situation in Afghanistan. And Lord, although many countries, many organizations are trying to give money towards helping the people, especially in the more difficult and poorer areas of Afghanistan, including the area that has suffered from that terrible earthquake. Lord, we pray that those finances will not go direct into the Taliban's office, but that it will get to the people where it is actually needed. Lord, we pray that the needs will be met. We pray that the work of people to help the needy will be honored. We pray for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We know, Lord, she's had a busy time, and we pray now that she will find time for rest and relaxation. We pray, Lord, for all the royal family. We pray for all who serve in Parliament, in the House of Commons, and in the House of Lords. Again, Lord, they need your wisdom and your guidance. We pray, Lord, for our own country. We pray for all people in need. There are so many needs, and you know them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with all the organizations, all the volunteers, all the people that are seeking to help people in need. And Lord, we pray for our own fellowship here. We pray, Lord, for our witness. Lord, we want our witness to be successful. We want people to know why we are here. It's not just for ourselves. It's because we want others to know of your saving love. And so, Lord, we thank you for every opportunity that we have in sharing your love, both here in the pub, in our own communities, in our own homes, and in our own families. We pray for all the members of our own families. We pray for our friends. You know them, Lord, and we know that you will meet their needs. We pray, Lord, for Megan, who is in Croatia for this week. We pray that you would keep her safe, that you would keep her happy, and that you would bring her back safely at the end of the week. But Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers for each other. Lord, we believe that you have a task for us, and we pray, Lord, that we might know what that task is, and that we might open our hearts and lives to your word. Lord, challenge us, equip us. Lord, use us in your service. May we know the power of the Spirit working in and through us. These and all our prayers we ask in your wonderful name and for your glory. Amen. All heaven declares. Over to Richard.
His actions. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' the voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he'd seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." The church in Antioch. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up through the Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Amen.
Thinking about what's going on in the world, we're going to sing "Great is the Darkness That Covers the Earth."
By the madness and lies.
Beg your pardon. One of the lines in the second verse, help us to bring light to this world. From the reading, we see that the challenge is to make room for the Gentiles. And if I needed a slightly different title for the message today, I would say, make room or time to share God's love. Make more room or time to share God's love. Making room for the Gentiles then, number one, they accepted the Gentiles. As we heard in the reading, not all people did, but the important thing is that the Gentiles were accepted, verses 1 to 18. Peter no sooner returned to Jerusalem when he was met by members of the strong legal party in the church of Judea, and they rebuked him for fellowshipping with the Gentiles and eating with them. And I ask you to keep in mind that the Jewish believers did not yet understand the relationship between law and grace, Jews and Gentiles, and Israel and the church. Most Christians today understand these truths. But after all, we have in Scripture Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, and Hebrews, and the challenge that they all bring. Peter had nothing to fear. After all, he had only followed orders from the Lord, and the Spirit had clearly confirmed the salvation of the Gentiles. The Jews were thought that they were special. They thought that the Messiah would come only for them. Peter reviewed the entire experience from the beginning to the end. And when he was finished, the Jewish legal people dropped their charges and glorified God for the salvation of the Gentiles. Praise God, they did. However, this did not end the matter completely, for the same legal party later debated with Paul about salvation of the Gentiles. Even after the Jerusalem conference, these legal people, these teachers, continued to attack Paul and invade the church that he had founded. They wanted to woo the believers into a life of obedience to the law. It is possible that many of these legal people were genuine believers, but they did not understand their freedom in Jesus himself. In his personal defense in Acts 11, Peter promised three pieces of evidence. 1, verses 5 to 11, there was the vision that he received from God. Verses 12 to 15 and verse 17, there is the witness of the Spirit. And then 11, verse 16, there is the witness of God's word. Now, none of these men had seen the vision, but they did trust Peter's report, for they knew that he had been as orthodox as they were in his personal life. So they thought he was not likely to go to the Gentiles on his own and then invent a story to back it up. You see, the witness of the Spirit was crucial, for this was God's own testimony that he had indeed saved the Gentiles. And it's interesting that Peter had to go all the way back to Pentecost to find an example of what happened in the house of Cornelius. This suggests that a dramatic baptism of the Spirit, accompanied by speaking in tongues, was not an everyday occurrence in the early church. Peter could not use this experience of the Samaritans as his example, because the Samaritans had received the gift of the Spirit through the laying on of hands of the apostles. Cornelius and his household, however, received the Spirit the very moment that they trusted Jesus. And this, my friends, is the pattern for today. Christians are to receive one another. We're not to dispute over cultural differences of minor matters or of personal conviction. Some of the Jewish Christians in the early church wanted the Gentiles to become Jews, and some of the Gentile believers wanted the Jews to stop being Jews and become Gentiles. This attitude can create serious division in the church, and it can do that even today. So it's important that we follow the example of Acts 11, verse 18, and the verse Romans 14, verse 1. So Acts 11, verse 18 first. When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life." And then the one from Romans. Romans 14, verse 1. "Except other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong." That's a challenge to us. Can I say it again? "Except other believers who are weak in faith and do not argue with them about what they think is right or wrong." Then we go to the second point. First, they accepted the Gentiles, and then, this is a lesson to us too, when we're reaching out to people, they encouraged the Gentiles. Acts 11, 19 to 20. The church leaders in Jerusalem had a responsibility to shepherd the scattered flock, which now included Gentile congregations as far away as Syria. Apparently, the apostles were ministering away from Jerusalem at that time. So the elders commissioned Barnabas. Yes, Barnabas, to go to Antioch to find out what was going out among the Gentiles. And you know, that proved to be a very wise choice, because Barnabas lived up to his nickname, son of encouragement. I spent some time as a new Christian in the boys' brigade, because we moved, I was transferred to a company who was at St. Barnabas Church, Dulwich. I saw encouragement there, but I also saw the other side. One day, I'd been asked to take up the offering with others, and as I took the offering plate from a lady, I smiled at her, and she said, "You don't smile in church." I honestly, well, as a new Christian, it could have done a lot of harm. But we had a pastor, Canon Brown, lovely man, and he used to come to the summer camps, not just for his own company, but for the whole battalion. And he would sit there, and if we went into a cafe, and I remember this one day, he put his bathing costume on the back of his chair, and it was watered all over the floor. And he said, "Very sorry to the waitress, but you know, there was a man that gave encouragement through his ministry as chaplain of that camp to anybody and everyone that he could speak to. And he really lived up to the name of son of encouragement. And we need that, you know, especially when we've got the other side that I spoke about. How did Barnabas encourage these Gentile believers? For one thing, he rejoiced at what he saw. Worshipping with Gentiles was a new experience for him, but he approached it positively, and he did not look for things to criticize. It was a work of God, and Barnabas gave thanks for God's grace. There were two wonderful results from Barnabas's work in Antioch. First, the church's witness made a great impact on the city, so that many people were added to the Lord. And you know, when believers are grounded in the word, they will have a strong witness to the lost. Yes. When we are grounded in God's word, we will have a strong witness to the lost. And there will be a balance in the church between, and this is important, between edification and evangelism, between worship and witness, between teaching and testifying. And I'm coming back to that later. Secondly, the growth of the church meant that Barnabas needed help. So he went to Tarsus and he enlisted Saul. But why go so far away to find a helper? Why not send to Jerusalem and ask someone like the deacon Nicholas, who was from Antioch? Well, I think we know the answer. Because you see, Barnabas knew that God had commissioned Saul to minister to the Gentiles. And no doubt, the two of them had often talked about Saul's special call from God. Unfortunately, the word Christian has lost a great deal of significance over the centuries. And I'm sorry, but it no longer means one who has turned from sin and trusted Jesus Christ and received salvation by grace. Many people who have never been born again consider themselves Christians. Simply, they say, because they're not pagans. Christians, after all, they think they are, because they may belong to a church, they may attend services somewhat irregularly, and even occasionally give to the work of the church. But it takes more than that, as we know, don't we, for a sinner to become a child of God. It takes repentance from sin and faith in Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross and, praise God, rose again to give us eternal life. That's a true Christian, isn't it, my friend? And the third one and the last one, Acts 11:27-30, they received help from the Gentiles. The very people that the Jews had criticized are now helping the Christians, helping Paul and Saul and others. The foundation of the church was laid by the apostles and prophets, and then both eventually moved off the scene. After all, you don't need to keep laying the foundation. The New Testament prophets received their message from the Lord by the Holy Spirit, and they delivered that message to the people, sometimes in a tongue. But the message would then have to be interpreted, after which people would evaluate the message. Why? To make sure that it came from God. And that's why I have this heavy Bible in my hand. I always will hold the Bible. It's to remind me that I've been commissioned to preach God's word, not mine. The New Testament prophets received their message from the Lord immediately. But ministers and teachers today get their message by mediating through the scriptures. We today have the completed word of God. We're very fortunate, aren't we? From which the Holy Spirit teaches and guides us. 1 Corinthians 12:10 ties together the gifts of prophecy, discernment, and tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Of course, the Spirit is sovereign and can give to the believer any gift the Spirit desires. But the passing of the apostles and prophets from the scene and the completing of God's revelation in the Word suggests surely that a change had taken place. Now, the word elders in Acts 11:30 has not been used before in Acts, except to refer to Jewish leaders. In the church, the elders were mature believers who had the spiritual oversight of the ministry. Whenever Paul established churches, he saw to it that qualified elders were ordained to give leadership to the assemblies, to the churches. Was it a humbling experience for the Jewish believers, I wonder, to receive help from the Gentiles? Perhaps it was. But it was also a beautiful demonstration of the love and wonderful testimony of unity. And that's what people need to see. They need to see the church united in its work of sharing God's love. Whenever Paul established churches, he saw that the qualified elders were ordained to give leadership to the assemblies. Sir Winston Churchill once said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make life by what we give." It was an enriching experience for the churches in Jerusalem and in Antioch, for there is blessing both in giving and receiving when God's grace is in control. And you know, it is very unfortunate when individual Christians and local churches forget those who have been a spiritual blessing to them. I'm sure we can all remember people who have been a spiritual blessing to us. But as we mature in the faith, do we remember them? I've got someone sitting beside me here in Sarah. It's not in my notes. But you would give great thanks for Will, will you?
Every single day, every single night, 24/7.
Yeah. And surely most of us can find someone like that. Sarah's father, who was. No, all right. But we need to remember as we mature in faith that there are people who have helped us, and we need to make sure that they are thanked. And I want to finish by saying something that I've already said, but it's vitally important. When believers are grounded in the Word, they will have a strong witness to the lost. And there will be, or there should be, a balance in the church between edification and evangelism, worship and witness, teaching and testifying. Yes, there needs to be a balance in those things. It's not all of one. There needs to be a balance between edification and evangelism, worship and witness, teaching and testify. Because, my friends, we are all called to reach out to people who have not been born again. And this is the call which we must obey. To God be the glory. Amen. Over to Richard.
Following on from what Bruce has shared with us, we're going to sing, "I Want to Serve the Purpose of God in My Generation."
The kingdom of God.
I'd got a plan and I knew what we were going to be doing next week. Then I looked at it again and I thought, well, some of this we've done before. And I felt that the Lord was telling me, put it aside. And so I tore it up. And the title for next week is God and Saul. I can assure you, unless the Spirit overrules, that it will be a short one. But I think following up today, it is a vital message. So pray about it, because, yes, we're going backwards in Paul's life to when he was known as Saul, but it has an important message for us. And no, I won't say any more, but I will say this, talking about people who have helped us much more recently in our church, the same as William, we had Stuart, Jean's husband Stuart, and you know, he's an elder in the church. He can't come now. Bless his heart. But I always knew that if I was wrong or if I needed a bit of guidance, I could get it from him. And I look back and I think, like when I thought, no, this message is not for next week. There is, God has got another one. I was thinking then that that is just what Stuart would have told me. He would have said, if you've got a problem, Bruce, do what the Spirit leads. That's the kind of man he is. Yes. And I'm sure we've all got people like that that we need to thank for the way that they helped us in our walk with the Lord. Let us stand together and say the grace. Are you? That's lovely. You're right there, Rachel.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen. Thank you.